Hello, everyone, and welcome to Homicide Hot Dish, where you get your scoop of true crime. I'm your host, Brittany. Now, this is a mini-sode, so it will be shorter than our usual case episodes, and this is not a homicide. This is actually a disappearance. Now, I don't like to do cases on missing people because there's just too much speculation to really know what's true and what's false, but I have had many friends ask me what I know about Gabby Petito, because I'm into true crime, obviously. And I'll be honest, before doing any research, all I knew was that she had a YouTube show or whatever, and she was documenting a trip with her fiancé. And the only reason I knew that is because that's what I've heard on the news. And of course, we know she's now missing. Now, if you already know who Gabby is and just want to hear about the case and her missing, skip forward about 45 seconds and you'll get straight to it and not have to listen to me talk more first. Now, a little bit about me with this case, because I feel it's important since this is my podcast. Now, I do not follow modern celebrities, if you will. I don't care about the Kardashians or Housewives of whatever or any of that crap. I don't watch Bravo TV. The only reality TV I watch is Bachelor in Paradise because I'm a sucker for that kind of drama. I watch Naked and Afraid, Lone Star Law, Wicked Tuna. I don't watch your typical reality star shows that most women do. So I had absolutely no idea who this Gabby girl was. I just kept seeing headlines like YouTube star Gabby Petito missing. And I know there are other women out there like me who are curious about this case and have no idea who she is because they don't follow celebrities either. So this episode is for all of you. Twenty-two-year-old Gabrielle Petito, better known as Gabby, and her 23-year-old fiancé, Brian Laundrie, are childhood sweethearts from New York. In 2019, Gabby moved to Florida to live with him and his parents. The couple did a lot of traveling together and would actually document their journeys on their social media sites. Gabby actually ended up quitting her job as a nutritionist, and the couple decided to travel cross-country full-time. They got a white 2012 Ford Transit Connect van and converted it into a camper. They were documenting their journey on their YouTube account called Nomadic Static. On July 2nd of this year, 2021, they left New York to head for Oregon. Along the way, they updated their social media accounts with photos and videos to document their trip. According to a missing persons post for Gabby, found on Instagram, Gabby would speak with her family several times a week. It wasn't like her to go very long without at least letting her parents know where she was and how things were going. Now, in the videos and pictures that I've seen, it looks like Gabby and Brian are having a good time. They're camping, they're just enjoying life, laughing, smiling. But then, on August 12th, they are pulled over by the police near the Arches National Park in Utah. According to 6ABC Action News, a witness called police to report a domestic problem between Gabby and Brian after they witnessed an altercation between the couple at the park. Gabby and Brian then drove off in their white van. In the police body cam footage, while the officer is about to stop them, he says, quote, "Driver is showing some obscure driving, possibly intoxicated. Currently doing 45 miles an hour, zone through here is 25, end quote. The officer then sort of shouts, quote, "Oh, subject just hit the curb, end quote. This is when the officer turns his lights and siren on to initiate the stop. He then says, quote, "Correction, speed limit is 15. I'm about 3/4 of a mile into the arches just before the gate," end quote. He then pulls them over and gets out of his car. He approaches the passenger side of the van, which is Gabby's side, and I assume he's doing this because of traffic on the road they pulled over on. He asks Brian to put the vehicle in park, turn it off, and put the keys on the dash. The officer asks them their names and then notices that Gabby is crying. He asks her what's going on. She says they've been fighting this morning over some personal issues. And then Brian interrupts her and says, it was a long day, they were camping yesterday, and then he apologizes to the officer for hitting the curb. Then Gabby in return says, quote, I was distracting him from driving, I'm sorry, end quote. The officer then asks Gabby to step out of the van while he asks Brian for the keys so he can put them on the hood. I'm sure he's thinking, since this is a domestic situation, Brian might flee. Now, Gabby is still crying and actually kind of hyperventilating. She's sniffling, and it seems she's trying to pull herself together and calm down. The officer then shuts her van door and brings her over to his car, out of earshot from Brian. He then asks her to tell him what's going on. And she starts to cry even more at this point and says some days she has really bad OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder, and that she was cleaning that morning. Now, I'm assuming she means cleaning the van. And it's kind of hard to understand some of what she's saying because she's still sort of crying. But she says she was apologizing to Brian for being mean to him because she has OCD and gets really frustrated and mean sometimes. And that she was stressed and had so much work to do because she's trying to build a blog for their journey. She says her and Brian have been fighting all morning and that he wouldn't let her in the van earlier. The officer says, well, why wouldn't he let you in? She said he told her that she needed to calm down. A second, third, and eventually a fourth officer then arrive on scene, and the officer talking to Gabby says he would like to set her in the back of his car. But it's not because she's in trouble or anything. He just wants her in the air conditioning, let her take a breath, and then he'll come back and talk with her again. And he asks Brian to step out of the van. He then asks Brian to tell him what's going on. Brian says, well, she just gets worked up sometimes, and I try and really distance myself from her when that happens. So he says he locked the van so she couldn't get in, and he walked away from her with the key still in his hand. He says this morning she was trying to start up her website blog, so he gave her some time to do so. He says the morning was actually fine. They had a nice morning, but then she got worked up because they were in a hurry to try to leave to get to their destination that day. The officer then notices that Brian has some scratches and a little bit of a swollen right eye. He says, quote, you want to tell me about those scratches on your face? End quote. Brian says Gabby had her cell phone in her hand and was trying to get the keys from him, and he sort of pushed her away, so she hit him with her phone still in her hand. The officer then examines Brian's hands and notices a scratch or something and says, oh, you have a mark there. And Brian says, oh, that's from a while ago. That's actually from a wire. The officer then asks Brian why he hit the curb. Brian says that was because Gabby grabbed the wheel from him. The officer then asks why he was going 45 in a 15, and Brian said he didn't even realize that he was speeding and that they were just trying to get back into the park to get some water because they were going for a hike. He keeps apologizing to the officer for everything, and the officer tells him to just take a seat on the curb and he'll be back. Now remember, Gabby is still in the cop car, not handcuffed or anything, she's just sitting in the back seat, the officer had got her some water, and he's letting her sort of just calm down. So another officer goes to speak with her as well. Gabby explains to him what happened during their altercation. She says that Brian grabbed her face, he didn't hit her, but he kind of grabbed her face to push her away. The officer asks about when they hit the curb, and she says she was yelling at him and hitting him, like punching him in the arm, which caused him to hit the curb. She then says Brian gets frustrated with her a lot and that she has anxiety and OCD. The officers then tell her they're going to go talk with Brian again. But before they do, the one officer asks Gabby if she grabbed the steering wheel from Brian, which caused them to hit the curb. Remember, Brian said he hit the curb because she grabbed the steering wheel from him. But Gabby says, no, I didn't grab the steering wheel from him at all. They go back to Brian and ask him to start at the beginning. What was their disagreement about in the first place? Just start all over. And Brian says they were arguing over a few little things that just added up. He was dirty. His feet were dirty. He had sand in his shoes. She was trying to clean up. They were at a coffee shop and it was for longer than they intended to be there. And he says nothing got physical between them prior to the altercation that the witness reported. He explains that he was just trying to calm the situation down and told her that they just need to walk away from each other and take a breather, which is why he locked the van. She then tried to grab the keys from him and was sort of getting physical with him, and he just sort of pushed her away, but it wasn't in an aggressive way. It was just sort of to get her back from him so they could just calm down. He says he started sort of yelling and getting loud, telling her to get back and get away, which probably grabbed the attention from people nearby. That's when she hit him and caused the scratches to his face. The officers notice he's not only got scratches to his face that are bleeding, but to his neck as well, and his right shoulder area. He keeps telling the officers he's fine, and he says he loves Gabby and basically just wants to make sure she's okay. Another officer on scene actually speaks to the witness on the phone. The witness tells the officer that he never saw Brian hit Gabby. He saw Brian try to lock Gabby out of the van and then says Gabby actually clawed her way in through the driver's side door. He says he thinks that door was actually unlocked and she could get through. Brian must have been standing in the way because he said she tried to climb over him to get in and he's trying to stop her. The witness says again he never saw Brian hit Gabby, just that he kind of shoved her away to stop her. The officer then says it's clear that Gabby is actually the primary aggressor in this situation, and Brian is the victim. It matches up with what Brian has said, with what Gabby herself has said, and with what this witness has said. Now the officers need to make a decision. Is this enough to bring Gabby to jail, or do they just give her a citation? Which they need to make sure first that the couple won't harm each other any further. But being that they're traveling and living together in the van, that makes it difficult. And there's the conflicting story about why they hit the curb. Gabby says she was just sort of punching Brian in the arm, and he says she grabbed the wheel from him. And then the officer says what I completely agree with. Brian maybe is just claiming that Gabby grabbed the wheel instead of saying that she was hitting him because he doesn't want her charged with domestic assault. Now, at this point, the officers make the decision to charge Gabby and say that an arrangement needs to be made to separate the couple, and they place a no-contact order in effect. And the only way to drop the order is for Brian to go to the police department and fill out a waiver. But the problem with that is it's already too late to do it that day, so he would have to wait till tomorrow. The officers go back and break the news to Brian. They basically tell him, look, we have to charge her and we have to separate the two of you or she's got to go to jail. Do you know of anywhere she can stay? Do you have any friends in the area or anything? They even offer to drive her to a hotel if they have enough money for one. And they tell him that tomorrow he can go to the police station to get that no contact order dropped if he would like. Brian says he's definitely going to do that. He doesn't want to pursue any charges against her, which I think was clearly obvious. And the officers tell Brian that she's going to have a court date, probably within a couple weeks, that she will need to attend to determine if it'll be dropped or not. And Brian seems cooperative the whole time with officers. It doesn't seem like he's hiding anything, except what really happened when he hit the curb, but it seems like he's definitely the victim in this situation when they were pulled over for what the witness called in. And Brian is actually more concerned about Gabby than anything. He's worried about this being on her record and what will happen to her. He's asking the officers questions about what she needs to do in terms of going to court, and what he needs to do to drop everything. He's asking if she's okay. Obviously, he's more concerned about his fiancée than anything else at that moment. Brian tells the officers there's nowhere for her to stay. There's no friends in the area. They have no money for a hotel. So he actually suggests that he let her stay in the van while he basically is just homeless for the night. But then the officers realize that there's actually a domestic abuse agency that could help set up a place for Brian to stay nearby. The officers then take photos of Brian's injuries and explain to Gabby what's going to happen. She then asks for her cell phone so she can call her parents. And in the meantime, Brian gets a bag from the van so that he has clothes and other items that he would need to spend the night elsewhere. Now, the officers keep going back and forth on what to do, charge Gabby or not. At first, like I said, they made the decision that yes, she was going to get charged and she was going to have a court date. But ultimately, the first officer on scene makes the decision to not charge her with domestic abuse. He reached this decision after talking to her and deciding that she didn't have any intent on hurting or injuring Brian. She was just frustrated that he locked her out of the van. But he does tell her he needs to separate her and Brian for the night. He tells her they need to take the night to just relax, calm down, rest, and they can talk to each other in the morning when they've had time to breathe. He tells her she gets to take the van for the night and that Brian is getting lined up with the hotel room for the night. And again, he reminds her they need to stay away from each other. When the officers go back to speak with Brian about what they told Gabby, they tell him that she says they need to tell Brian she loves him and she looks forward to seeing him tomorrow. They then bring Gabby out of the cop car and to the van, reminding her not to text or call Brian or see him at all and that they can talk in the morning. One of the officers then gives Brian a ride to the hotel. Now, what happened from the next day, August 13th, to September 1st is sort of a mystery to us. We do know that Gabby stayed at a hotel in Utah on August 24th because that hotel staff did verify this. Gabby's mother said that Gabby told her they were traveling from Salt Lake City, Utah to Yellowstone National Park. She had spoken to Gabby last on August 24th when Gabby said that they were in Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. Gabby's mother says she also received text messages from Gabby up until August 30th. However, if those messages were really from Gabby herself, we don't know. Brian then came back home to Florida to his parents' house on September 1st, driving the van, without Gabby along. And Brian isn't telling anyone where Gabby is, not even her family. So, 10 days later, on September 11th, Gabby's family filed a missing persons report. And unfortunately, Brian isn't talking. He won't tell anyone where Gabby is or where he last saw her, and he's lawyered up too. Police waste no time listing him as a person of interest. They go to Brian's house to talk with him, but his parents answer the door and just hand them their lawyer's phone number. Neither Brian nor his family will talk to Gabby's family, instead using all contact through their lawyer. Now, police did do a search of Gabby and Brian's van and have said that they are looking at some things found in the van, but they haven't commented any further. Now, something interesting, and unfortunately also something that we don't know is true or not, is a woman named Miranda Baker from Wisconsin posted a video to TikTok. In her video, she says her and her boyfriend actually picked up Brian on August 29th at Grand Teton National Park at around 5:30 p.m. She says he approached them and asked for a ride to Jackson, and they were heading to Jackson themselves, so they decided to give him a ride. But before getting in the car, he offered to pay them $200 for a ride, and this ride was only like 10 miles away, which also seems strange because he told officers when he was stopped that he and Gabby didn't even have enough money for her to stay in a hotel that night. He told this couple that he had a fiance and that he had been camping without her for multiple days, and he says she's actually working on their social media page back at their van. Now, no one has actually confirmed this woman's video claiming these things, not the police, not Gabby's family, Brian's family, no one. So whether it's true or not, we still don't know. And again, Brian and his parents aren't speaking to anyone at this point. According to ABC 7 New York, a statement from Brian's lawyer reads, quote, "Many people are wondering why Mr. Laundrie would not make a statement or speak with law enforcement in the face of Ms. Petito's absence. In my experience, intimate partners are often the first person law enforcement focuses their attention on in cases like this, and the warning that any statement made will be used against you is true, regardless of whether my client had anything to do with Ms. Petito's disappearance. As such, on the advice of counsel, Mr. Laundrie is not speaking on the matter. I have been informed that the Northport, Florida police have named Brian Laundrie as a person of interest in this matter. This formality has not really changed the circumstances of Mr. Laundrie being the focus and attention of law enforcement, and Mr. Laundrie will continue to remain silent on the advice of counsel. End quote. According to The Guardian, the police chief investigating Gabby's disappearance said, quote, I can't speculate as to why he's not talking, but he has the pieces to the puzzle that we need to find Gabby, end quote. He says the investigation is still a missing persons case. No searches have been done because they're basically not even sure where to start looking. The police chief says, quote, we're still trying to nail down geographic areas. There's a lot of information we are going through. Our focus is to find Gabby, end quote. Now, Brian's sister is actually one who is cooperating and speaking with police and the media. She spoke publicly on Good Morning America on September 16th. Part of what she says is, quote, obviously, me and my family want Gabby to be found safe. She's like a sister and my children love her. All I want is for her to come home safe and found, and this to be just a big misunderstanding, end quote. She says her brother has not talked to her about Gabby's disappearance, but that if he would, she would tell authorities what she knows. Gabby's family has pleaded with Brian and his parents to just tell them what happened and where Gabby is, but they have refused to talk. According to the New York Times, Gabby's father says they are determined to find her alive. He says, quote, whatever you can do to make sure my daughter comes home, I'm asking for that help. There is nothing else that matters to me now, end quote. According to The Guardian, Gabby's family sent a letter to Brian's family. Part of the letter reads, quote, we believe you know the location of where Brian left Gabby. We beg you to tell us. As a parent, how could you let us go through this pain and not help us? As a parent, how could you put Gabby's younger brothers and sisters through this? End quote. The letter also reads, quote, we ask you to put yourselves in our shoes. We haven't been able to sleep or eat, and our lives are falling apart. End quote. And Brian and his parents not talking has now changed. Not that Brian would talk, but that his parents would talk. Well, sort of anyway. According to The Guardian, just yesterday, September 17th, Brian's family attorney called police and said that his parents wanted to talk. This is the first time the family has talked to police in detail. But they want to talk to police because Brian is now missing. This is now a multiple missing persons case. Today, September 18th, 2021, police searched for Brian in a large wildlife refuge near the Gulf Coast. They searched a 24,000-acre reserve near Sarasota, Florida, looking for any sign of Brian. His family say they believe he entered the area earlier this week. So that means he's been missing for days. The family says he's actually been missing since Tuesday, 3 days prior to them reporting him missing. According to The Guardian, an attorney for Gabby's family said in a statement made after Brian was reported missing, quote, all of Gabby's family want the world to know that Brian is not missing. He is hiding. Gabby is missing, end quote. Now, police have looked into a possible connection between the murder of those two women at a campsite near Moab in August, which is where the altercation between Gabby and Brian took place, but they found that there is no connection between Gabby missing, and now Brian missing, I guess, and those two murders. And police are staying pretty quiet about details in the case. They don't want to give away anything or alert a suspect that they're onto something. Anyone with information is asked to contact 1-800-CALL-FBI or 303-629-7171. Or tips may be submitted anonymously online at tips.fbi.gov. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Homicide Hot Dish, and be sure to follow our Instagram page, Homicide Hot Dish Podcast, and our Facebook page for when our next episode will be released.